All right, so today we are going to be, we'll jump around a little bit, but we're predominantly in Ezekiel, chapter 48, verse 35. And it says, "The distance all around will be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that time on will be The Lord is There." So today we're going to be talking about Jehovah Shammah, which appears in Ezekiel 48, verse 35, as the name of a city the prophet Ezekiel was shown in a vision. Excuse me. And Jehovah Shammah means "The Lord is there." So when Ezekiel received this vision from God, the Jews were currently in captivity in Babylon for about 25 years. Jerusalem and the temple were in ruins, but God had promised that his people would be restored and that the city and temple would be rebuilt. You can find that in two different verses. The first one being Jeremiah 25:11, and it says, "This whole country will become a desolate wasteland, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And then moving to Daniel 9:20-27, it says, "While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill. For while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, 'Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy and anoint the most holy place.'" Verse 25 continues to say, "Know and understand this. From the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be 77s and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in time of trouble, after the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be put to death and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come to destroy the city and sanctuary, the end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolation have been decreed. He will confirm a covenant with many for the 1 7. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering, and at the temple he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him," which is Daniel verse 90:20-27. So in the closing chapters of Ezekiel, the prophet describes what God told him in his vision about the coming restoration of the land, the city, and the temple. It includes detailed plans and measurements for the restored city. The final words of Ezekiel's book are, "And the name of the city from that day shall be The Lord is Here," which is Jehovah Shammah. That name, Jehovah Shammah, would have special meaning for the Jewish people in exile. They felt forsaken in Babylon and cut off from God, but this glorious city of promise, the Lord is there. So the name Jehovah Shammah doesn't occur in the New Testament. However, the Apostle John clearly takes Ezekiel's description of a restored city and applies it in his vision of the New Jerusalem, which will come down to earth out of the heaven when sin is no more. And that's found in Revelation 21. Revelation 21 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully and dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all of this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and the liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake burning sulfur. This is the second death." Continuing on to verse 9, it says, "One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of seven of the last plagues came and said to me, 'Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb.' And he carried me away into the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and one on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates and its walls. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with a rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and as high as it is long. The angel measured the wall using human measurements, and it was 144 cubits thick. The wall was made of jasper and the city pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth one onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the 10th turquoise, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was gold, as pure as transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the King of Kings will bring the splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." So I want you guys to notice some parallels. Let me try that again. Notice some parallels between the two cities. So, its name is Jehovah Shammah, which is God is there, which you can find in Ezekiel 48, verse 35. And John says that the New Jerusalem, God is with men, and he will dwell with them. God himself will be with them, which is Revelation 21, verse 3. In vision, God takes Ezekiel to a high mountain to show him the restored city, which can be found in Ezekiel 40, verse 2. John says that an angel carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great holy city, Jerusalem. Ezekiel says a man with a measuring rod who will begin to measure different parts of the city and announce its dimensions, which is Ezekiel 40, verse 3. John says he who talked to me had a golden rod to measure the city, its gates, and its wall, which is Revelation 20, verse 15. Ezekiel's city has 12 gates, 3 in each of the 4 walls, and each gate is assigned to one of the 12 tribes of Israel, which is Ezekiel 48, 30, verse 34. John's city has the same 3 gates on each wall with a gate for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Ezekiel's city is in the shape of a square, and each side measuring 4,500 cubits. John's city is also a square, although the dimensions are different. So what does Jehovah Shammah mean for us today? So the city and temple Ezekiel saw never became a literal reality in Ezekiel's day. God did restore his people, and the city and temple were rebuilt, but never on the grand scale envisioned in the closing chapters of Ezekiel's book. And the holy city, New Jerusalem, that John describes is still to come in the future. So what does that mean for us today? The name of the city, Jehovah Shammah, God is there, was intended as a divine promise to give hope to the Jewish exiles. When the vision of a glorious restored city came to Ezekiel, the Jews had already spent 25 years in exile in Babylon. In fact, Psalm 137 describes their misery and their longing for their homeland. They knew that they were in Babylon because of their sins and failure to follow God faithfully. But God had not forsaken them. He had promised to bring them back from exile and restore them in their native land if they would repent and turn to him. The very name of the restored city would stand as a promise that they could depend on. God is there. Or as John says to us in Revelation 21, verse 3, God is with men and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. So like the Israelites of so many centuries ago, we have the promise of a glorious city where we will live with God. He will be there, he will be our God, and we will be his people. He is the God who is always there. But the promise is not only for the future. God is there for us today as well. Like the Israelites in Babylon, we may have sinned, we may have felt forsaken and alone. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.'" He is Jehovah Shammah. God is there. Before he returned to heaven, Jesus promised his disciples, "I am with you always, even until the end of the age," which is Matthew 28:20. And that promise is for each of us as well. And there are many texts in the Bible emphasizing that the fact that God is always there for us, as if it's as if he wants to make sure we don't forget. So Psalm 46, verses 1, 2, and 7 say, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and through the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. The Lord of the hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Hebrews 4, 15 and 16 says, "We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in this time of need." Jumping back to the Old Testament, in Isaiah 49:15, it says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion of the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you." Going back to Psalms 34, it says, "I sought the Lord, and he has heard me and delivered me from my fears. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." So basically what I'm saying is that there is no way we can escape the love of God. God is always with us and shall not forsake us. And Jesus is the literal embodiment of God, and he came to be with us. Emmanuel, God with us, is the same God that will always be there. So it's important for us to remember that in tumultuous times, God is with us and with everyone, and he is waiting to embrace us in his loving arms as soon as we repent. This is why repentance is such an important thing in the Christian faith. It brings us back to God and asks us to be forgiven for our transgressions. In fact, the main concept of the book of Ezekiel is that the glory will return. But the book of Ezekiel points towards Jesus and a coming time of when God will be there. The term Son of Man appears 93 times in the book of Ezekiel, and this fully shows how God was able to reveal himself to his people and set forth a city where God will be there. The final messages in the book of Ezekiel are meant to be read as prophecies of hope. So, remember where your hope is found. The Lord will restore his people and has done so through the work of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The spiritual transformation that Ezekiel reports reports that foreigners will also share in the blessings of the future kingdom as the Lord fulfills his covenant promises to Israel. The Lord will give people a new heart by pouring out his spirit upon them so that they would be obedient to his commandments and never again have to face his judgment. So remember, just as the Lord is there, he is already there for us.